Eric Burns of MLB Network joining us now. I'm Bill Baby Tal Schmidt, C. Sparky Pfeiffer, former Badger and Packer running back Gary Ellerson, and Leroy Butler here as well.
I believe you're supposed to reference him as Ping Pong King when you bring him on.
Oh, that Eric Burns, am I supposed to reference you as Ping Pong King when I bring you on to the Wendy's Big Show here?
Ping Pong King. I mean, I'll take that title, sure. I'll put my game up against anybody.
Yeah, I've heard of matches with you and J.J. Hardy. Is that accurate?
Oh, dude, no. J.J. Hardy, he whipped my butt on the racquetball court. You guys have no idea what J.J. Hardy's capable on the racquetball court. I mean, it is next level. I've never seen anything like it.
I thought racquetball was for old guys.
I mean, this guy, and I believe, and I did have to go back and do a little research on this, but I believe his parents were like world champion racquetball players.
Get out, really?
So we were at the like the LA Fitness in Scottsdale one day, and JJ Hardy's agent was my roommate at UCLA and one of my best friends, Mike Seal, and we went out there and. Seal and I have had some battles on the racquetball court before, and we're pretty evenly paired up. Mm-hmm. And then JJ came out, and as soon as he busted out the goggles, I knew we were in trouble.
Oh, yeah.
You're in deep once you bust out the goggles.
Can he put it down? Can he put it down in the corner, you know, real, real low?
Every time.
Yeah, see, that's
so
how you get
it. It's the kill shots. It's almost like he started rallying with us a little bit, just so it was somewhat entertaining. And if I believe it was, he gave me, you know, you played a 15 in racquetball, I believe. And it was like, I think I had to get 3 points, the bet was.
That's it?
Yeah, and I didn't come close. I think I got one.
Oh my God.
So, Eric, racquetball, I know golf. What other sports do former MLB players like to still get competitive with?
Well, first of all, speed golf in my case. So
Speed golf? What's speed golf?
Well, speed golf, you guys probably haven't heard of this because most people haven't.
Uh-uh.
And I hadn't up until a couple years ago. But
okay.
I got into doing ultra running and got into doing triathlons and 100-mile races and stuff. And then basically a guy asked me to come out to play 12 hours of golf. And it was for a fundraiser, and as you go out there, you play as many holes as you can. And so within the 12 hours, I ended up playing, I think it was 245 holes.
Okay.
Which broke, unofficially broke a world record, which was set at 237 a couple years before that. And then this year, my wife and I started a foundation called Let Them Play. All got getting kids outside and keeping them active. 60% of kids no longer do after-school youth activity programs.
No,
97% of public schools no longer have everyday physical education.
Mm-hmm.
And so we did this big, long venture across the country last year, handing out grants as I swam, bike, and ran across the country. And then this year, our big event was speed golf. And it was a 24-hour speed golf session, which I chased the world record, which was it was like 402, and it was set 47 years ago by a guy by the name of Ian Colston in Australia, and it hasn't been touched since. And believe it or not, there's been a few people who have attempted it. You know, I'm sure that's probably your first question, is like, who would ever go try such a thing?
Not us.
Yeah, but speed golf, you tee off and then you run to the ball, or what?
As fast as you can. Yeah, you play every hole as fast as you can. So I ended up playing 420 holes and was somehow able to get the record. And that was a pretty cool thing.
Are you carrying your golf clubs, or how does that work?
I was going to say, as a 300-pounder, I got to ask if there's a golf cart involved.
Yeah.
No.
No, he's running.
Just one club.
Oh, just one club?
Yep.
And what club? Was it 7-iron?
A woman's 8-iron, actually, because it's light, easy to carry.
Yeah, makes sense.
And it had one of those like really big backs on it.
Yeah,
right.
Totally makes sense.
If I smoked it, I was hitting it 200 plus yards.
Yeah.
But it
so
also
you're halfway there. Your second shot, you're on the green.
Yeah, exactly. And so it also had the loft too, in case I got stuck in a sand trap or anything. So
that is nuts.
Man, that's straight crazy.
This is amazing. Nuts. Eric Burns of MLB Network.
I'd be in traction trying to do some.
Former MLB outfielder joining us here on the Wendy's Big Show, telling us about just some crazy work that he's been doing. So Eric, now let's talk about some baseball.
Let's
you played outfield at the highest level, and there's a couple of guys on this Milwaukee Brewers team doing it at the highest level. Start out first with Christian Yelich.
You know what? The more I look into Christian Yelich and his numbers and what he's been able to do so far, the more I'm starting to think that he's pretty damn near the best player in the game.
Yeah.
And I understand there's a guy by the name of Mike Trout, but like what Christian Yelich has been able to do now, two seasons in a row, I think the thing that gets overlooked with him is the stolen bases and the efficiency. So it was like, I don't know what it was. I was just looking at it. It was like 23 bags. It's barely been caught at all. And it just the model of consistency, what he does against lefties as well as righties. I think the OPS is damn near 1,000 against lefties and obviously up over 1,000 against righties. But, I think he's one of those guys that when, from a player's perspective or an analyst's perspective, we talk about the best players in the game being consistent, right? Showing up at the ballpark each and every single day, having a nice, consistent approach, having a routine, just really simplifying the game. And that's what this dude has figured out how to do. And I think it's a joy to watch on a nightly basis. Now, I do believe it's going to be an absolute showdown between him and Cody Bellinger for the National League Most Valuable Player, but he's one of the best things going in the game of baseball right now. And to be honest, he makes my job more fun being able to analyze him regularly.
Talk about this Brewers team versus, say, the Cardinals and the Cubs. I look at all three of them, and I say all three of them have kind of been letdowns this season as far as expectations coming into this season. I thought all three teams would probably be better than they have been.
Yeah, I don't know what to attribute that to. That's why I think at this point it's sort of anybody's division still. I would say, maybe I'd give the slight edge to the Cubs, but they haven't really done anything that made me think, oh, yeah, this team's great, and they're going to run away with the division. So that bodes well for Milwaukee. I was just looking at their playoff percentage chances. Obviously, everything's numbers here in baseball, and they have like a 28% chance of making the playoffs right now, and then a 1.1% chance to win the World Series, in case you guys were wondering.
Right.
Eric Burns joining us from MLB Network here on the Wendy's Big Show. And Eric, when you look at how pitching in as a whole has gone in Major League Baseball, the trade deadline seemed for some to be a letdown. For me, looking at it, it just seemed like everybody trying to learn a brand new system and sellers wanted the moon for guys that really you probably should have been able to go to a discount store and be able to buy at a higher price there.
Yeah, I don't – the trade market was weird. I don't think anyone really expected no one really knew what to expect because they basically took away the waiver trade deadline, right? So before you could have, the unofficial trade deadline was July 31st, and now this one, where before it was in August, and so it just, it was weird. And then you had teams like, for example, the San Francisco Giants, and this is what the second wild card has done, which I think is obviously a great thing, is that it's involved more teams, and so it's made these teams make very difficult decisions. And so when you're a larger market, say like San Francisco, well, or even the New York Mets, obviously when they go out and get Marcus Stroman, and everyone thought they were trading Syndergaard, and we had no idea who else was going to go from that team. Zach Wheeler was another guy that was talked about a bunch. But then all of a sudden, they're like, yeah, boom, here's Marcus Stroman. Now, I can tell you this because I'm close with one of the executives with the San Francisco Giants, and basically what he said, like their approach going into it was, yes, they're instead of looking to get better for like the right now, they want to make their baseball team better. Now, but not necessarily 5 years from now, but it's like, we want to make a baseball move that could help us now, but in the long term, it is going to really help us. And so that's the sort of deals that I don't think it was just them, thinking that way. I think it was a lot of these teams thinking, maybe next year as well and 2 years out, whereas before it was like, dude, just give me, and I'll give you an example, like Cleveland Indians. So they bring in Framil Reyes and Yasiel Puig. Mm-hmm. Well, Yasiel Puig is the help now, right? And then Framil Reyes is the, hey, help for the next 5 years. And then them trading Trevor Bauer away. So, you know, they give up a good starting pitcher, you know, borderline great at times, but at the same time, you can make an argument that, you know, their offense, which needed help, immediately got better, obviously, with the acquisition of those two guys.
You know, do you think the Cubs are a bit of a disappointment? Because I think most people saw them assemble this team. They thought at least maybe two or three World Series. And really, if you look at them this year, they're still scuffling and struggling like they were last year.
Yeah, if you look at it, I mean, they have a really good home record. They're 41-19 at home. They're 23-35 on the road. So I kind of look at the Cubs, and that doesn't shock me at all, because I kind of look at them as one of those teams that they need to be challenged. They need to be pushed. They went through such a high, and they're dealing with a lot of the same personnel on that 2016 team. Mm-hmm. But look, here's the reality. We are so far past 2016, and a lot of Cubs fans are still living off of that. So I just think that, you know, looking at the Cubs, you put them in these high pressure sort of situations, you know, a situation where they're going to have to play their best baseball. Mm-hmm. You know, personnel wise, I do believe that's the best team in the Central. But you know, it's a risky road to walk down, because we saw that last year when Milwaukee went in there and took it to them, and next thing you know, they were on the outside looking in.
Right, and then I was going to ask you then your thoughts on the Milwaukee Brewers, because I think they are on paper a little challenge if you're talking them versus the Cubs.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, there's certain things I like about the Brewers, obviously, starting at the top with Christian Yelich.
Okay.
You know, it's a lot of it's about being healthy, and you know, what is this, Woodruff or you know, whoever. I mean, look, they got Lyles, which is a hopefully he'll be a nice pickup for you guys, you know, down the stretch. And then plus you have Craig Counsell and Pat Murphy. Like you have these experienced baseball dudes that know what they're doing. And I, of all the guys that I ever played with, I could tell you that Craig Counsell, if you were to ask me who I thought would be the best manager, I would have put his name at the top of the list.
Really?
100%. Innovative thinker, not, you know, obviously very even keel, you know, but cares, and you know, he's going to do everything in his power to put his guys in a position to succeed. He's not going to panic when you know, things get really down, and he's not going to get too high on the highs. So yeah, I think they have the right guy at the helm. It's just, you know, it gets to a point where it's not necessarily up to the managers or the coaches either. It's up to the players going out there. Number one, they have to be healthy, and number two, they have to play up to their potential.
Talking with Eric Burns of MLB Network, you can catch Eric across all of MLB Network studio programming. Plus, tomorrow's Brewers Twins game will air exclusively on YouTube at 1 Central. Fans can access it youtube.com/MLB or search MLB on the YouTube app and get the game for free, live, no login required. Eric, one final thing that I wanted to ask you is, as a young player coming into the heat of a pennant race, Keston Hira is one that's doing it at a tremendously high level here in the first 200 at-bats that he's had as a big leader. And also Trent Grisham coming in and playing the outfield and playing it with guys like Lorenzo Cain and Christian Yelich, who are Gold Glove caliber defenders. How difficult and how much clout do those guys get in that clubhouse being able to do it at a young age?
Well, Keston here, I've followed him for a while now. This kid went to UC Irvine, and obviously he was a top draft pick, and so I followed his progress through the minor leagues and getting called up to the big leagues. He's an interesting guy for me because he has a really simple approach where he hits the ball up the middle, hits the ball the other way, yet at the same time, you know, this dude also strikes out a lot. And so that was a one red flag that I would say that there was in his game, and he doesn't walk a ton, you know. But he has this totally advanced approach, and he's hitting balls like where you don't see other guys, you know, hitting balls.
Yep.
Up the middle the other way. But the other thing about him is just this presence. right? Like he just he looks like he's been there before, and so he has this really sort of veteran thing. And he, and another really interesting thing on Keston Hiura is he whacks off speed pitches, whereas usually the younger guy comes up and he's hitting off all fastballs. Well, you look at his numbers. This was about a week ago when I was checking them all out. But look at his numbers against like breaking balls or off speed pitches in general, and he absolutely kills them. So I think what's going to happen is, you know, and you've already seen it a little bit, is the league's going to make an adjustment to him, and then you got to go, you know, he's going to have to go back and make the adjustment back to the league and play a little cat and mouse game. But I do believe that so long as he is able to have the discipline within the strike zone, so long as he's able to figure out a way, and he doesn't have to be perfect with the strikeouts, and he doesn't have to be Joey Votto with the walks, but the one thing I told a young player this today that reached out to me, a first-round pick this year that just signed, and he's struggling right now in A-ball, and he was asking me a couple questions. I'm like, look, dude, first and foremost, I said, let's get back to the basics. I said, if you want to set some simple goals, like process-oriented goals, I said, let's try to get those walks up and those strikeouts down. And do it, like, for this next week, pick a number, whatever the number is. It's like, I will walk as many times as I strike out. If I strike out, fine, no big deal, but I'm going to walk. Because if you look at some of the greatest hitters in Major League Baseball, the greatest, like unquestionably, it's they walk as much, if not more, than they strike out. I think there's like three or four guys who did it last year. So, it's one of those things that I know scouts look at religiously mm-hmm. when they're trying to evaluate what sort of hitter this guy's going to be going forward.
It makes it sound so easy, and it makes it why it's so much fun to watch Major League Baseball. Well, you just said, and just walk as many times as you strike out, and you'll be all right, kid. That'll be good. I wish it was that easy. It would make baseball just a whole lot more fun to play. Makes a lot more fun to watch. Eric, appreciate the time, man. We can't wait to talk soon, all right?
All right, guys. Sounds good.
That's Eric Burns joining us from MLB Network.